Well, Brian Berry is here. He's from the Powers Court Garden Pavilion, and he's got advice on growing fruit here in Wicklow. You're very welcome, Brian. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you.
And fruit in the garden. I mean, we traditionally think of an apple tree, but there's much more.
Absolutely. And what people forget, like fruit, particularly fruit trees or bush fruit, they're so simple to grow. You just stick them in the ground, give them plenty of water for the first year, and feed them every now and then. And year on year, you'll get a great crop of fruit, which tastes much better than anything you'd buy in a shop.
And what sort of stuff are we talking about?
Well, I suppose one of the favourites that we actually sell in the garden centre is the strawberry, and it always has been very favourable among our customers. Again, it's quite easy to grow. You put the plant in, feed it with tomato food every 2 weeks, and in its third year you will get the biggest crop. And then after the third year, they start to fail. So what you do is you'll get some baby shoots coming out from the actual strawberry on years one and two. You take them off at that stage because you want the plant to concentrate on growing fruit. But in the third year, you actually let them propagate themselves. They'll root into the ground and they will become the adults for the following year. So you keep renewing your stock every 3 years.
Okay. Do you have to have a certain type of soil? Some people say, oh, you've got acidic or you've got some sort of alkaline or there's lime or there's all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, most fruit will grow on pretty much any soil. They're quite adaptable. If you're to say a slight preference, they probably have they prefer slightly more alkaline rather than acidic. But it's quite easy to put them in an acidic soil and add lime to the ground, which actually takes care of that problem. Some of our apple trees, people have a fear of apple trees. I remember when I grew up, and I'm sure when you grew up, there was always the case of young boys running into houses and robbing the apple trees.
Sure, did
the
it myself. I never robbed Mr. McGinley's apples, but there was Albert College, which is now DCU. And that was an agricultural college, and they used to have loads and loads of apple trees. They lost a lot of apples to people like me.
It was a favourite pastime of young boys back then. But, so a lot of people stopped growing trees, and I think there was a lot of bad press about trees in general. Oh, they'll take the roots will take over and take the foundations away from your house, or to take down walls. But a lot of trees have been developed now to suit smaller gardens, particularly the apple trees. What they actually do is they graft from a main tree onto a dwarf rootstock. So it'll only allow the tree go to about 8 foot high. So it means that you can actually put some trees in, have cross-pollination within the garden, and have a nice crop of fruit too.
A big garden, does the roots go out forever?
No, because on these dwarf rootstocks, the root actually only grows to a certain size and only supports then a smaller size tree on top. With most trees, at the top is in balance with the bottom. So like where what you see on top, you can be guaranteed that the same root system is on the bottom, and hence they don't actually blow over. So our trees, our apple trees have become very popular, particularly they've now grafted onto one particular rootstock, several types of trees. So on one tree, you can actually have two or three apples grafted on, which will fertilize each other, and you'll get two or three different types of apple on the one plant, which can also, by the way, be put into a container. Now, it would have to be a big enough container, at least like 60 centimetres across by 60 centimetres high, and you can have apples cropping on your patio, and indeed they're actually called patio apples.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
God, that's tempting now.
Yeah, so it's great to see that there are opportunities for people, like even in an apartment living, to actually put plants in and see nature, because we know nowadays that we all need nature. We're always trying to protect the environment now and do what's right for nature. So yeah, with the housing stock changing from your typical family home to apartment living and other types, it is important for people to be able to connect.
What about berries? Oh, sorry, I mentioned gooseberries there, but the ones like the raspberries, the blackberries used to be lining the ditches of the walks I used to do as a kid. I don't see many of them now.
Well, indeed, I suppose our hedgerows are protected now, but like some of the hedgerows, if you walk up, I know particularly up Lahontstown and that, you will actually see plenty of blackberries during the autumn months. Blackberries are not something that's really favoured in the garden because they do actually travel quite a lot underground, so you put one plant in and you could end up with a forest of literally blackberries. So if you're growing blackberries, they are available, but you need to actually maybe containerize them. And you can even put them into a container and put them into the ground, and it restricts the actual rootstock.
Right. Blueberries, raspberries.
Yeah, vicinium is the actual Latin name for blueberry. Again, very popular. Now, with the actual blueberries, they actually need to go into acidic soil. So a lot of people will actually grow them in containers. And they're actually, corymbosum is the variety, which is actually self-fertile. So it means you only have to have one plant, and there's male and female parts on the actual plant, so it'll actually produce berries for you.
Right.
But they're probably the most popular of all of the fruit section that we sell is the actual blueberry.
And still we're importing a hell of a lot.
Absolutely. And this is why I think it's important when people talk about the carbon footprint, is that people realise that they are easy to grow. They're not tropical fruits that you have to heat and do all sorts of mad things with to try and get a crop. I mean, it's different, obviously, with oranges and citrus fruit. But there's so much that we can actually grow in this country.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to ask you about the birdies and other robbers of fruit apart from the humankind. How do you protect your fruit against very hungry birds that would be saying, oh, there's a nice juicy strawberry there, I'll have that one.
Yeah, and you hit the nail on the head. The strawberry is always probably one of the biggest victims. Strawberries, obviously, when they get red and the birds can see them from high up, they come down to actually feast on them. So it's a case of whether you get there first before they get them. But a lot of people actually will use netting to net them off. Now, if you actually put the netting on strawberries, they're only a small plant, and keep it at low level so that birds can't actually fly into it and get trapped in the actual netting. One of the things with strawberries, again, and hence why they're called strawberries, is they used to be grown in fields, and when they lay on the ground, obviously slugs and worms would actually eat the strawberry. So they decided back then in the time to actually put straw under the actual strawberries to protect the straw, so to protect the berry from lying on the ground, and hence they're actually called strawberries.
Yeah. Gosh.
Yeah.
That's very good.
So, so it is a case, be careful. You know, if you grow plums, wasps tend to go for the plums. So, I mean, every plant will have something in nature that wants to have it before you get it, but a little bit of knowledge is good. I mean, we're lucky nowadays to have technology, and you can always just Google when you have a problem. And if not, you know, ring us at any time. We've horticultural expertise, and we'll advise you. You can send photographs, etc.
Right. And what about, let's talk about the war, okay? Tomato. Will it be included in fruit, or is it a vegetable?
It actually is a fruit, but yeah, some people do think it's a vegetable. Tomatoes are, again, very easy to grow. I would grow them in a sunny position within the garden. Now, it's a bit cold today, and indeed we've had some low temperatures over the month of May, which is not typical. But by and large, they actually grow very well in Ireland. You can grow tumbling types, like Shirley or Tumbler, put them into hanging baskets, and they will fruit forever. You just feed them every 2 weeks. You don't have to do anything with them other than feed them every fortnight, keep them watered, and they give an amazing, tasty fruit. Other ones like Moneymaker are more of the upright version, so you actually have to cane them up. And in between the leaf axes and the stem, you will get a side shoot. So you keep taking the side shoots out. And again, the same feeding regime. When it actually gets to have nine trusses of tomatoes set on the plant, you actually take the top off the plant and you stop it.
Nine, that's high, isn't it?
It is,
I mean, for a domestic situation, would you not be going three or four or something like that?
No, I mean, in Ireland, it depends on, like, you know, with tomatoes, you're trying to get the last truss ripe before the winter sets in. So if you start out, I mean, the seeds are sown in January undercover. They generally go out in May. So between May and October, you will actually get about nine trusses to actually reach maturity and hopefully ripen. If you have a bad summer, they will still grow. However, they need sunlight to actually turn them red. So if it doesn't turn red, you can actually take the tomatoes off, wrap them in newspaper, put them into a hot press or somewhere warm, and in a couple of days it will actually ripen.
Right. Pauline in Bray has been on. She said she hasn't seen any blackberries or primroses because she suspects that the landowner is actually spraying them. Have you heard anything like that?
Well, spraying is always a problem, and because it's a broad-leafed broadleaf plant, when they actually spray fields or grass, or, they actually tend to take out broadleaf plants. So it would be a problem. I mean, sprays by and large are just bad. We all recognise that.
They're coming into a world. If you imagine the world as a bucket, it can only take a certain amount of chemicals and it'll fill up and overflow.
Oh, well, absolutely.
So we should stop making sprays. Is there anything more effective in natural?
Well, there is. I mean, most of, we have a whole range of organic sprays in the Garden Pavilion in Paris Court, and the actual sprays are, believe it or not, made from natural defence systems that plants have actually produced themselves. So if we look at the chrysanthemums, there's a, an extract they take from it called pyrethrin, and pyrethrin is a natural chemical the plant develops to try and actually kill off some of its pests. So what they do is they take them out and they actually intensify them, put them into sprays. And that's the basis of most of our actual organic chemicals, which, by the way, are 100 times better than using any chemical. I mean, in my own garden itself, I let nature do it. I've always just not used chemicals, purely from my very young years. I just didn't like the idea of me maybe inhaling what I was actually using. So I just stood away from them.
Okay, and you can get all that. So
absolutely.
go organic, go natural sprays to deal with everything. Well, I tell you something, those little dwarf apples now and patio apples are a good one, Brian.
Absolutely. And honestly, they are just delicious. Like, you can't beat homegrown fruit or vegetables. They taste so different to what you would get in the shop.
Right. Well done. That's Brian Berry. And as Brian says, give him a shout, call into him, whatever. And he's in the Paris Court Garden Pavilion if you want advice there. Thanks for coming into us. Did you meet the Rolls last week?
I did indeed.
Did you? Yeah.
Very pleasant experience. They actually got around to shake hands with everybody, and not just shake their hands, but they actually engaged with everybody. So,
what did they talk to you about?
Well, of course, plants.
Does Prince Charles still talk to them?
Well, he actually is a very, he's a garden lover and he loves plants, so it's a keen interest of his. But yes, it was most enjoyable. We all had a great day.
Very good. Okay, well done. Thanks for coming in, Brian.
Thank you
Brian Berry there from the Paris Court Garden Pavilion.